like a copy of God's what? Bible, that is. New Testament. In its entirety offered to you. Quite freely. Yours for the taking and to do with as you will. But it is God's word. And of course, has the ability, the power that is to make a person wise, that is for salvation. The wisdom of God, as opposed to the wisdom of the world. No comparison, really. Stop and think about it. Some people, they tell me, I hear the phrase, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. A good saying. Seems that way to me, at least, anyway. And of course, well, that is indeed what the Bible says, not quite the same words, but that's what it says. That's where the world, with its wisdom, is going. So the wisdom of God is offered to you, and you can only find that in the Bible, in the Word of God. And as I say, it's offered to you. Yours for the taking. Do with that as you will. Offered freely to you. Yours simply just to receive, to take. You like one, you do feel free to come and ask for one. The only thing that's free here in the marketplace in Newcastle today, totally free. Just like the gospel, the free grace of God that brings salvation, that brings peace and joy, hope and happiness, that brings eternal life to the souls of men and women, that is, who believe. Who believe the gospel, who believe the good news, who believe the wisdom of God, to take God at His word as He has spoken. Hear, O heaven, hear, O earth, the Lord God hath spoken. And His word is to be found nowhere else but in the Bible. Some of you, I know, you go under the handle of atheist. That's what maybe how you would describe yourself. A lot of people do, of course, in this dark and apostate generation in which we find ourselves, in the providence of God. But of course, in the Bible, God, He says there is no such thing as an atheist. Such a thing doesn't actually exist. You can profess to be all kinds of things, you know. Some men, in today's mad society, some men profess to be women, and some women profess to be men. Well, there are all kinds of lunacy, madness. So I can say, yeah, you can even profess to be a Christian and not be one, you know. And of course, well, you profess to be an atheist, even know what that means. You know what it means to be an atheist? No, not for talking. Well, some people, they say that's what they claim to be. What they mean by it is that there is no God. Because God, contrary to that, says in His word, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's madness. It's folly. It's intellectual lunacy to say that there is no God. Because simply it flies in the face of, well, one, what you know to be true, and that, of course, which lies before you. The Bible, God says, concerning the knowledge of Himself, He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, is plain and clear in them. That's the thing, you see. You know, whatever you be, whatever you call yourself, you know that God is. He even believe that God is just same as I do. And of course, I believe unto salvation. I believe, trust in God, and in the salvation that He has revealed in His precious Word. The atheist, of course, the one who lives in denial of God, knows and believes God, but of course, not for salvation. Cut off from God, separated from God as a result of his or her iniquity, that is, rebellion against God, denial of God, the existence of God. And of course, well, men and women do that. Why? Well, because they're conceived and born in sin, come into the world shapen in iniquity, says God. Born, conceived and born in sin, you see, a sinner even before you see the light of day. Even at the very moment of conception, when you are conceived in your mother's womb, you are conceived in sin. And therefore born in sin. That's how you come into the world. On the wrong side of God. On the frowning, on the wrathful side of God. And that's why, of course, Jesus says that a man must be born again. That nature with which you were born has to be changed. By the power of my gospel, it can be changed indeed. And of course, made a new creature in Jesus Christ. But that's what it takes, you see. Not just a profession, not just you attending a church, not just you claiming to be something, but God doing, by the power of the gospel, God doing something in you. A miracle, that is, changing your nature, causing you to be born again by His supernatural power. So then, of course, you remain in the darkness. You remain with your godless, atheistic, secularism, call it what you will, it's all the same thing. But friends, there is no justification, you see, none whatsoever, for the notion that there is no God. Of course, people use all kinds of, all manner of things, you know, to hold the truth, to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, God says. Some people use religion, don't you know? Heathen, dark religion invented by men, the Muhammads of this world, the popes and the Buddhas. And some people, well, they use a different kind of religion. It's called, in today's society here in the West, it's called evolution. But it's a religion just the same. Anti-God religion. Some people, of course, they claim it's scientific, but it's not. Not a single ounce of scientific justification for evolution. None whatsoever. It's a philosophy of man. That's what it was in the beginning, and it's still that today. Not scientific, just an idea that came from a man whose heart wasn't right with God, just the same as yourself. A man who hated God. You see, that's the problem. We come into this world with this fallen nature that's not just, you know, not with God, but opposed to God. That is, in rebellion against even a hatred for God. And of course, in that hatred, in that blind hatred, men will grasp at any straw, anything that they can get hold of that will suitably, you know, well, for their minds at least anyway, explain God away. But of course, you won't do that. You'll never do that. The Word of God remains forever. The Word of God stands, the counsel of God stands forever. That just leaves you on the wrong side of God. But the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, is revealed to us in His Word, the Bible, that we might be rectified, that we might be restored to God's favor. In the kindness, compassion of God, You see, in His Son Jesus Christ, and the gospel has reached down to fallen, rebellious, God-hating man in order that he might be rescued. Religion, you see, is the opposite. Religion is man trying to work his way right with God. Whether it be the Watchtower Society, whether it be Mecca's brand, or whether it be Rome's brand, it matters not. It's all man trying to, by his own puny, stupid efforts, try to work his way back to God. But that will never happen. Only by the grace of God, you see. Only by God reaching down. Only by God, you see. He does the work. He must do the work. Because you and I, we are impotent. We're without power. But of course the Bible says that when we were without power, when we were without strength, in due time God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, pay the penalty of the law to die for sinners, that we might be reconciled to God, brought back from the brink of that rebellion and eternal damnation, and brought into a right, a loving relationship with God, that thing for which you were made in the beginning. So manifest is clear in them. You have the revelation of God within you. You know that God is. And of course you can claw at it. You can try to stamp it out. You can try to extinguish it with all manner of things. And you can call it what you will. You can call it science, so-called. You can call it by the name of a religion. You can call it by the name of evolution. You can call it by the name of atheism. Call it what you will. But that's all it is. Your hatred against God, seeking to trample on that knowledge, that innate knowledge that's in every single man, woman, and child born into this world. A child is born into this world before it knows anything, it knows that God is. So you see, you have that innate knowledge. You have the revelation of God within you. You know that God is. You know that you're accountable. One day you'll stand before Him, just as the sign says. You'll breathe your last. You'll stand before God. And there'll be no surprises. There'll be no saying, "Oh, I didn't know that you existed. I thought evolution was true." No, it will not be like that. You'll stand before the God you always, always, always knew existed. But today, if you will not harden your heart further, but rather if you will submit, surrender yourself to Him through His Son Jesus Christ, it might be that He will pluck you as a brand from the burning, from the very jaws of eternal flames, and bring you to salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way back to God. There is no other way by which a person can be restored, repaired to the favor of God. But of course that revelation of God that's manifest in you, that knowledge of God that you have within that you cannot extinguish no matter how much you try. You see, I know that your silly old Santa Claus doesn't exist, you know. So when you start talking about Him, I don't get bent out of shape, I don't get angry, I don't go into a rage, I don't start railing at you. Why? Because I know He doesn't exist, you know. I just shrug it off and carry on my own sweet way. When I talk to you about God, I talk to you about His Son, Jesus Christ, I tell you about your sin, you fall into a rage. It won't be long before somebody kicks off. God, you really honestly believe that God doesn't exist. And why does it make you angry? Why does it make you rage? Why does it make you boil within? Why does it make you gnash your teeth? Why does it make you want to kill the preacher? Because you know that God is. But you see, you're made, you come into the world with that revelation of God within you. But it's not long, doesn't take long before you begin, even at childhood, to extinguish that knowledge. You get the help, of course, of godless parents. You get the help of godless grandparents. And then you continue on, you get the help of godless school teachers, college professors, the media, the whole nine yards, you know. They're all striving to help you extinguish the knowledge of God that you have within you. And it's not long before you've joined their company. And you help them. And do the same to your children and your grandchildren. Helping them to extinguish the knowledge of God that they have within them. So, you see, whoever you are, you've got no excuse. God says so, not me. You've got no excuse. It's plain, absolutely plain as the nose on your face that God is. But of course, to get right with Him, to be restored to Him, to have the knowledge of God rightly installed, you know, in the computer, if you like, of your being, you know. To get properly restored and into a right, a proper, and a loving relationship with your Maker, well, there has to be a very serious repentance, a coming from the godlessness, coming from the wickedness, the evil of your holding the truth in unrighteousness, and a turning to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's the appointed way, that's the only way back to God from the dark path of sin. Jesus Christ, who declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Then of course you got the revelation of God without, you know, outside of you, all over the universe in which you live. And because of these things, God says in His Word, because of all the things that He has made, that alone leaves you without any excuse. How there can be a world of design, how there can be a universe of design, how it's all held together, maintained, sustained, all speaks volumes. The revelation of God, you see, outside of you, all over you, even when you look in the mirror, what do you see? What do you see? A blob? But what do you see? You know? Something that was hatched out in some primordial sludge. An accident of some stupid big bang. Huh? That nobody can explain where the chemicals came from to make the big bang. You don't get something out of nothing. That's a scientific impossibility, to get something out of nothing. But that's what you say. That's what you cling to in your desperation, trying to stamp out the knowledge of God that's manifest in you. But you see, friends, you look in the mirror. Each and every time you look into it, you see a man, you see a woman made in the image of God. Not a piece of pond scum, you know, that evolution tells you. I don't wonder that so many people in your country today are living in desperation. I don't wonder that so many people and so many of your youngsters are trapping themselves, committing suicide, that is. Because they got no hope, you know? Because they've been taught by parents and grandparents, you know? This godlessness. No hope, you know? In this world, no hope for the world to come. Yeah, you know, they've got no pride in themselves, no self-esteem, you know? They see themselves as not having any. You've taken the value out of life. Life doesn't matter. To a godless society. They that hate me, says God, love death. That's why you've got abortion, unending abortion, millions of unborn, defenseless infants slaughtered in the name of abortion. That's why you've got the start of euthanasia. That's why you've got death on tap. Because you hate God. All they that hate me love death, says God. No self-esteem. No value. That's why they go about like snowflakes and millennials. That's why they go about, you young people. That's why they go about, you know, like, I don't know. You look at them and they're like zombies. And that's without the drink. That's without the drink and the drugs. Why? Because they were never taught right. They were taught they were just an accident. They were just an accident of evolution. They were just an accident, you know? That's all they were. They're nothing. Nothing. But you're not, because when you look in the mirror, you see a man, you see a woman made in the image of God with potential for life, eternal life. That is, should you turn away from the godlessness and turn to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh yeah. Yeah, manifest in you the knowledge of God. You have the revelation of God within you, and you have the revelation of God outside you. Everywhere you look, you see the handiwork of God. Pray, says God, as the nose in your face. He says that you even clearly understand that He is. But you hold down the truth in unrighteousness, in wickedness, that is. And the result of it is, of course, you're separated from God as a result of your iniquities. But again, that revelation of God is extinguished by sin. Sinful thinking. You know, indoctrinated with the evolutionary thinking. Indoctrinated with godless parents and grandparents, and so it goes on. Your media, the state, the education system, all seeking to help you extinguish the knowledge of God that you see to explain away with false science. Not against science. Not against science. There's plenty of men and women, Christians, who are scientists, who don't believe in your false science that you use to extinguish the knowledge of God. No friends. Science, proper science, true science, intelligent science, wise science. Science that acknowledges, you know, that without God, you can't even have a meaningful thought. Never mind through science or anything else. Now, you got to stop the extinguishing. The sin has to stop, you see? You have to put the brakes on the sin. Thinking, speaking, and actions. The sin in its totality has to be extinguished. Not the knowledge of God that you have within you and outside of you. An acknowledgement of God. And of course, the coming from that sin. A fundamental turning from that sin. That wickedness that seeks to extinguish the knowledge of God in and without you, and turning to His Son, Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. You see, friends, you're created by God. Created by God, but ravaged by sin. Can't you see it's the sin that does the damage? Can't you see that you live in a broken society? Is that not obvious to you yet? I mean, how bad does it have to get before you see the light? How bad does it have to get before you call out? Before you cry? How bad does your society, does it have to be totally, absolutely, and totally destroyed before you see, before you understand what it is that does the damage? It's sin. It's a rebellion against your Maker. It just doesn't work, you know? Can't you see that? That your society doesn't work? Can't you see that you've come to that place that God says is an abomination to Him? When you call evil good and good evil? From the Queen, the Prime Minister, members of Cabinet, right down to ordinary men and women on the street, saying that which is good is evil, that which is of God is evil, that which is of God is wickedness, and that which is evil, that which is wicked, that which is esteemed by God is evil. Can't you see that you've already come to that place? Can't you see that you're a nation fit for burning? Can't you see that you're a nation on the brink of hell's damnation? Can't you see that you're only fit for the fires of hell? Can't you see that there's no righteousness, no goodness in you at all? Can't you see that God in His compassion, His grace, His kindness has provided a way back to Himself? Out of the mess, out of the brokenness, out of the darkness, out of the sin, salvation is called. Redemption. To the one who paid the redemption price, to the one who came, made of a woman, made under law, and paid the penalty of man's sin, dying for the sins of the world. No, not for every man and woman head for head, but for those who will believe, those that will repent, those that will turn from their wickedness, their sin, their evil, ones that will turn in their hearts, ones that will embrace the truth, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, redemption is theirs, the way back to God from the dark path of sin. But all you see, everybody born into this world, young and old alike, have a numinous awareness of God. It's inescapable. You can't get away from it. You never will. People advocate, of course, they say they try. Oh, they strive. They've been doing it for the last 6,000 years. As old as the world is, trying to eradicate God, the very thought of God, from out of the world, from out of the minds of men, women and children. But that's never going to happen. You're fighting against God. The wisdom of this world cannot overcome the wisdom of God. That's an impossibility. The power of the world is no power at all against the power of God. No, friends. No. That just leads to your own man's own destruction, own damnation. And isn't it surprising? Isn't it amazing? No, not the judgment, not the wrath of God. That doesn't surprise me at all. Not an ounce does it surprise me. What surprises me is the patience of God, the forbearance of God, that he allows you to continue breathing His air, that He allows you to keep on living. You know, that's what surprises me. But God is patient, a lot more patient than I, believe me. And that's a good job. But you see, that patience, that kindness of God ought to lead you to repentance. And if it hasn't done so, well, I call upon you today, even this very day, to repent. and believe the gospel, that you might be saved, that you might be delivered and brought into a right, living, loving relationship with God. See, even your conscience bears testimony with me. Your conscience is a moral response to God. Unless you've hardened yourself, unless you've seared your conscience with a hot iron, you know, as the Bible says in some have, you know, these people that no longer have a sense of what's, you know, right or wrong, good or evil. They can kill, they can slaughter people without even thinking about it, you know. It's nothing to them. They're all like, you know, bashing people. Folk like that, you know. Life means nothing to them, you know. No conscience, you know, it's gone. They've hardened themselves. They're beyond the pale. But your ordinary man, woman on the street, you've got a conscience, you see. It testifies with me as to the being of God. It's a moral response to God. It's God's sheriff, you know. It comes and arrests you, you know. It comes and convicts and condemns you when you do wrong. Yeah? And of course, it proves when you do right. But that conscience, you see. Your conscience, well, if you came from monkeys and apes, if once you were an ape, if once you were a monkey, well, you wouldn't have a conscience now. You know, your pet dog bit you in the back of the leg tonight. I guarantee you, it wouldn't lose any sleep over it. If you go to bed, it would sleep peacefully, just as it always does. Why? Because it's got no conscience. But you bite your friend in the back of the leg, it will trouble you. Because you got a conscience, you see. You got a conscience. But of course, men and women damage themselves in that way too. Again, you see, it's the manifest knowledge of God in you. But men and women damage themselves by damaging their consciences. You know how it goes. You start doing something your parents told you should never do. Smoking drugs, you know, the fornicating, or, you know, whatever it might be. And the first time you come to it, you're troubled, you're worried, you know. But then you go ahead against your conscience, you do it, and you're troubled. But then you keep on doing it, and you keep on doing it, and then your conscience doesn't bother you anymore. Because you hardened yourself, you see? So hardened yourself that you no longer have the sense that the thing is wrong as you once did. And that's what men and women do all their life long. And of course, they get to that point in life, that age in life. And I wouldn't like to say that anybody's beyond the reach of God. But I tell you this, you know, there's not a lot of old people that get saved. It's mostly young people, you know, because the elderly, they've got a track record in sin. They've got years of hardening themselves. And they are so cynical and unbelieving, you know. Now, while you're still young in the days of thy youth, remember thy Creator. Get right with God before you come to such a place as that. But then, of course, there's two principal parts that remain, you know, in a nature, even in the most corrupt of natures, known to man, you see. And it says, friends, that there's the seed of religion. True, I mean, the religion of God. The seed of it is in the soul of every man, woman, and child born into this world. That's a fact, God says so. Regardless of what you might call yourself. And of course, there's a distinction, like I say, the conscience, the distinction between good and evil that's engraved upon a man's conscience. And because of these things, you see, you know that God is. It's manifest in you. So I call upon you today to turn from such wickedness, to turn from such a denial, because that's all it is. It's just living in denial of the truth, suppressing, holding down, that is, the truth in unrighteousness. It's an unrighteous thing to do. And God says that the unrighteous are excluded from the kingdom of heaven. That's what you do. Exclude yourself from God. Exclude yourself from heaven. Exclude yourself from all the goodness, the blessings of God, the forgiveness of God. But don't you know, no matter how long you've been calling yourself an atheist, no matter how long you've been at this godless business, no matter how much you've been at it, maybe you've even been teaching other people such things, you know? I gotta tell you, you know, there's a way back. You know, there's forgiveness. The gospel, you see. The gospel. The revelation of the righteousness of God. The revelation of the wrath of God. It's all over you. And all over your nation because of the godlessness. Because of the holding the truth in unrighteousness. But there's also the revelation of the righteousness of God. You say, where is that revealed? In the gospel, in the good news. What's that, you say? That Jesus Christ died for sinners. That Christ died for the ungodly. That's where it is. That's where you find it. In the gospel, in the good news. That Christ died for sinners. Of course. You might even deny that you're not a sinner. But, of course, there's only one way that you could ever prove that, and that's by not dying. Because, you see, friends, the wages of sin is death. That's why people die, don't you know? You ever pose yourself with that question? When somebody near or dear to you dies, you know, goes out of this world, and you ponder the question, perhaps, you know, it comes to us all. You see, why do people have to die? Because they're sinners. That's why. And that's why you'll have to die.
Huh?
You'll meet God. The God that you now know exists. And who calls on you to repent and believe the gospel.
I love someone, though.
Yeah, we all do. Happens to us all. It's coming to you and I, too.
I know.
We're going to die. Are you ready, though?
Yeah.
Are you? You've repented of your sin?
No, I am, but like...
Well, you're not ready then.
No.
Well, you're not ready then. Please.
I'm ready to go.
Huh?
I am.
No, ma'am. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, I am ready to go.
No, you're not. No.
My sister was 43. She just died 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's awful. That's awful. But it happens to us all. You know? Something's going to take us out of this world. Something, you know. You're going to die of something. It might be a choke or a bust. It might be cancer. It might be a heart attack. Something, you know. So, you young people, you're preparing yourselves for life, you know. Get the college degree, university, education, because I want to be this. I want to be a scientist. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. You know, preparing for life. And that's not saying that's wrong. But you're preparing for death. Because that's the only one certainty you've got in this world. There's no certainty. Even if you get the degree that you'll get to be a doctor, a scientist, or anything else. Only one thing you can be sure of in life, and that's you're going to die. But are you ready? Are you ready? Not if you call yourself an atheist, not if you're living in godlessness, not if you're living holding the truth in unrighteousness, you're not ready. If you haven't repented of your sin, if you've not believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, you're not ready. And you need to get ready. Jesus says you must be born again. It's not something you do. It's not something I did, you know. It's something God does. God has to do the work. Born of God, not of the human will, not of the flesh, not of man, of God. God has to do it. He has to change our natures. He has to change our hearts. It's only then that we'll seek after Him. It's only then that we'll call on His name. It's only then that you'll turn, that you'll believe, that you'll trust. And it's only then that you'll be ready for that day when you cock your toes up. One day, I tell you, one day you're going to put your socks on, but you won't take them off. The undertaker will take them off at the end of the day. Ah, believe. I tell you, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command. That's an imperative. You cannot. You cannot. I know it saddens me. You know what saddens me, old man, as you walk away? You're a step away from eternity and you're mocking the things of God. God of mercy on your darkened soul. What a poor, poor creature. Imagine living to an age like that and still being utterly godless. Well, friends, I tell you, the Word of God, the Word of God, see, you're condemned by your own testimony. You have the knowledge of God within you, it's manifest in you. There are no excuses. I ask you, you're a Christian today, you say, no, I say, what excuse have you got? None at all. Not a single one. No. Friends, you failed. You've come short. Come short of the glory of God. The glorious standard that God has set for humankind. All have sinned, God's Word says. Not just some. Not just those that you would, you know, call the offscourings of society. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None have come up to the mark. None have hit the target. Not even the bullseye. Nah. All come short of the glory of God. And so therefore, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Die not just physically, but eternally. The wages of sin is death. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, you see, end of story. Black hole, nobody knows. Nobody ever came back to tell us. Yes, he did. Jesus did. And he tells us plainly, after that, the judgment of God. And you meet with God. And you meet your Maker. And you meet the one that you've lived in denial of and in defiance of and rebellion against. And you meet Him. And that will be a fearful, sorrowful time. Depart from me, He will tell you. You workers of iniquity, get out of my sight. I never knew you. I hope and I pray for you, Newcastle, that you'll come to a better place. That you'll come to a better understanding of the world that you live in. And of the God who made it and made you. And the God who would have you to repent, because He says in His Word that He commanded all men everywhere to repent. That's the first step back to God. Repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Jesus says. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand and you cannot enter it without repentance. Coming, that is, fundamentally and seriously coming from your wicked ways. and your unrighteous thinking and turning back to God through His Son Jesus Christ in faith. Reaching out the hand of faith and receiving the unspeakable gift of God, salvation, through His Son Jesus Christ. The only begotten of the Father who brought grace and truth, who brought salvation, who died that this salvation might be a possibility for you. Should that is, you repent and believe the gospel. So I call, command you as God does in His word today, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. The good news that is concerning God's Son Jesus Christ. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. Check these things out for yourself and see that they are so in accordance with God's word. It's what He has spoken, not me. See, in His word, you'd like a copy, you come and ask for one. Offered freely to you, no cost, no obligation to you. More relevant than today's newspaper. All sinners in the hands of an angry God, but a God who has provided salvation for those who will repent, who will believe on His Son Jesus Christ. Salvation is presented to them. If you'd like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, never dying soul.